Matthew chapter 20. So Jesus is continuing. Actually, he's continuing from the previous chapter. You know, the chapter breaks were done by man. And they don't always make the best breaks. Because, I mean, Jesus is right in the middle of explaining something. And then it starts with chapter 20. And it doesn't really flow well, but that's okay. So he had just finished talking about everyone who has forsaken everything and followed me is going to have a heavenly reward. And the last thing he said was, but many who are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And then this chapter starts off because, let me explain what I mean. Because the kingdom of heaven, or the church, is similar to a man who was a landowner who went out early in the morning, probably 6 a.m., because that's, I think that's when their work day started, was like from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's my understanding, to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, I believe back then that was the normal a day's wage of work was a penny. He sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour, which would be probably around 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise, so about noon and 3 p.m., and about the 11th hour, or 5 p.m., 1 hour before the workday ends, he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that you shall receive. So he has hired workers to work his vineyard, and they've all worked different number of hours. Those who started at 6 a.m. worked 12 hours. Then you've got people who were hired at 9, at noon, at 3, and at 5. And people who were hired at 5 only had to work 1 hour. So when evening came, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning from the last to the first. So he's going to pay the people who only worked 1 hour of the day first, and then he'll go work his way up to those who worked 12 hours. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, every man received a penny. So the people who only worked 1 hour that day were given a full day's wage. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Even though Jesus, this is Jesus sort of, but even though the landowner had agreed with them on a penny, they thought, well, since we worked 12 hours, we should get more. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And likewise, every man received a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last men have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I did you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way. I want to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. So this is his explanation of what he means by the last chapter's last verse, but many who are first should be last, and the last should be first. This is why I think that there are no different positions in heaven. I think everyone's reward will be the same, whether they were a Christian for 50 years or whether they were a Christian 5 days. As long as you are a faithful, obedient Christian at the point when you leave this world, then you're going to get the same reward in heaven. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples by themselves on the road and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. So this is at least the third time he's told them this, that, hey, I'm going to be persecuted and I'm going to be killed. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. And again, he's talking about himself in the third person. Then the mother of Zebedee's children came to him with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing from him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." She did not understand what she was asking. She, like so many of them, did not understand that Jesus' kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. It's the church. It's not a physical kingdom where he can assign, you know, James and John to sit on each of his sides. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, apparently James and John were there with their mother, because it says they said to him, "We are able." Now, when he says, "Drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with," I think what he's referring to is his persecution and his death. And he said to them, "You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." In other words, you're right. You guys are going to be persecuted and killed for my name. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to those for whom it is prepared by my Father. In other words, it's up to James and John where they sit in Christ's kingdom. It's not up to Jesus. It's up to us. We have to use our free will to decide where we're going to spend our eternity. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. You know, how dare you go to Jesus and say, "Hey, we want to be your top guys." They didn't like that. It's like they didn't listen or understand at all what Jesus had just talked to them about, how there's no rankings, you know, in his kingdom. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." In other words, in the world, what's normal is some people are higher up than other people. And that's just the way society works. And those with more power and more authority can then dictate orders and commands to those below them. So you do have rankings in society. That's just normal. But this is not how it works in the church, in Christ's kingdom. He says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whoever wants to be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whoever wants to be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, Jesus, when he came to earth, was he demanding that people just serve him hand and foot and just treat him like he was just one of the uber elite? No. On the contrary, he served, he healed people, he washed the apostles' feet, we'll see here in a little while. He was here to serve, not to be served to. "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should remain silent. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be open.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." I hope this has a dual meaning. I hope that for these two blind men, their eyes were open physically and spiritually, and that when they followed him physically and spiritually by obeying him. That's what my hope is for these two guys. And that is Matthew chapter 20.